Tune in to Talking Earth, a show dedicated to showcasing our local poetry scene. Join hosts Patrick Picard, Barbara Lamorticella, and Walt Curtis for Talking Earth on the second and third Mondays of each month from 10 to 11 p.m. More information can be found on kboo.fm under schedule.
It's just a little bit before 6 p.m. here at KBOO Portland. It is time for Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unions segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, for the working class, and by the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State County Municipal Employees and the current president of the Oregon chapter of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I'm joined by my sister in the struggle.
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell, a vice president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unions. I'm also retired from the UAW staff out of Detroit and the president of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute here in Portland.
So tonight we have a real treat. We have a homegirl, sister girl, who's here with us that we're going to interview. Her name is Alyssa. She's an Afro-Puerto Rican trans woman from New York City. She was a keynote speaker here in Oregon just not too long ago at the Oregon Student of Color Conference held at the University of Oregon. So, sister girl, what's up?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Thank you for having me here.
So, you know, Oregon hasn't been the same since you left.
Okay. Sorry about that. I have family stuff.
No. Mm-hmm. We understand. You got places to go, people to see, and definitely things to do.
Yes.
So I was really thrilled when you said you were coming back.
Yeah.
And I was even more thrilled when you said you were a keynote speaker.
Yeah.
So you tell our listeners about what was happening down at U of O.
Okay. So, yes, the Oregon Students of Color Conference had me out there because one of their leading members and organizers, Donald Thompson, who was in the Portland State University Student Union with me when I was here, he put me forward, mm-hmm. and the voting members voted, and they wanted to bring me out there. So at the time, I was in Minneapolis working on the Ginger Jensen City Council campaign, uh-huh. and we didn't win, even though we got the most votes. I'm a little bit bitter, but
that's not familiar.
they flew me out from there and brought me to the conference, uh-huh. and specifically they wanted me to speak about the theme of the conference, which was transforming solidarity and building radical organizing on campus. Uh-huh. So they thought that I would know a thing or two about that. So a lot of what I spoke about had to do, one, with my work with the Audre Lorde Project in New York City, and the trans justice program there, mm-hmm. and how that would go on to inform my building student movements on campus, particularly outside of the bounds of university bureaucracy, mm-hmm. and who is recognized as an official student group that gets funding, sure. and access to spaces and things like that versus not. So at Portland State University, we were not a sanctioned student group. Okay. Rather, we were just a group of concerned students,
sure.
and we had to fight and claw to stay relevant, and we did. Mm-hmm. And even though I knew most of the students who were at this conference either are in or around student government, I wanted them to think about relating to the students at their universities who okay. are getting into trouble, okay. who are working outside of the bounds okay. of what the university sanctions as being acceptable.
All right.
And even if you don't want to be a troublemaker because you're in student government or something like that, that says nothing about your capacity to build a relationship with the people who are willing and able to work outside of those bounds and maybe bend or break the rules for justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you talked about, you mentioned earlier about the Trans Justice Program mm-hmm. that was created in 2009. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so it was the Trans Justice Community School okay. that was started by a woman named Maya Vasquez, M-Y-A-V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z, who's also an Afro-Puerto Rican trans woman from New York City. And she astutely realized that there was a lack of leadership even in New York City, mm-hmm. where everyone thinks about black and brown transgender women as being overly represented compared to other cities and parts of the U.S. and the world. And that's true because so many of us flock there because it's so difficult to find acceptance in other places. Mm-hmm. And even though that's true and we're overrepresented, that's not translating to community organizing. And in this case, certainly not to union organizing either, but mm-hmm. I'm sure we're going to get to that.
Sure.
So it was essentially a way, a program at the Audre Lorde Project to develop community leaders. So to have the first class of people to be in the Trans Justice Community School was important to her. And when I got the call to go and the opportunity, I jumped at it. And it's something that has never left me and has remained a really pivotal part of my maturation. Mm-hmm. And I will always cite it as the origin of my radical politics, especially in the vision of building power from below mm-hmm. and always thinking about the transformation of solidarity through a lens of intersectionality.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you get into this?
Oy, was known in my small little underground circle as someone who had interests outside of just the lifestyle that me and some of my friends were living. Mm-hmm. And that can involve and include some pretty dark stuff.
Okay.
And even though I in no way think I'm better or above it, mm-hmm. Everyone knew, or many people knew, that my interests were outside of that. And okay. it was pretty apparent to most people that Alyssa will probably leave this lifestyle and leave the scene mm-hmm. as soon as she can.
Mm-hmm.
And is only in this life because, and in the scene, because of socioeconomics, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got the opportunity to channel my creativity and my brain power to something else, I did leap at it. Mm-hmm. And I would end up becoming the valedictorian of the first class at the Trans Justice Community School at the Audre Lorde Project at 85
Sweet.
Oxford Street in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah. Wow. So you've been back in Oregon and you're just really tearing up the streets from what I hear.
As long as you hang out with Jamie Partridge and Teresa Rayford, I think you'll be all right. So if you want to get in trouble, hang out with them and you'll find yourself right in the middle of it.
Okay.
Alyssa, yeah. I have been going to Say Hey every 3 months.
Okay, Say Hey.
Say Hey.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with Say Hey. Say Hey is people being relocating, coming into the Pacific Northwest, Portland area to work. And I noticed there's a tremendous amount of people coming from New York.
Uh-huh.
There's a large, uh-huh. if they're recognizing 60 people, 30 of them are from New York.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, now what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
Not only is, you know, because this is an area where there are jobs, uh-huh. employment is,
okay.
but, and now you, and by the way, Audre Lorde, I love her. When I did my PhD dissertation, she was part of my research. That's a great, you know, I like what she did and all that. So I commend you for that.
You got
the right road there. And then I didn't ever heard of the Trans Justice Program,
uh-huh.
Audre Lorde
uh-huh.
in New York.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Well, she's a great organizer. She's excellent. So I commend you in studying at that institute. And one other question, Jeff said, because I have a black, I have an institute of youth.
Yes.
And certainly would like you to come out and talk to them.
Okay.
They're high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
They're black student unions. They have 5 high schools.
Yes.
And we go everywhere.
Okay.
But let them to see about making decisions now, or tap, especially unionism.
Mm-hmm.
These are options for your life.
Yes.
I tell them all the time, you can be more than a rapper and an athlete. You're going to work somewhere.
Yeah.
So why start thinking in grade school, in secondary school, that getting into a union, and especially females, electricians, carpenters, we were just at that Constructing Hope, that thing, Oregon Tradeswomen,
Oregon
this weekend,
yeah.
And which I'm going to certainly take back to the to this to my institute and these youth, especially women, to prepare them. So I certainly would like you to come out and talk to them sometime.
Yeah.
If you know, we can get together, they meet all the time, but you could come out and encourage them, because, and then let them know these are options for your life, mm-hmm. And set the groundwork for option and unionism, because I'm a product of unionism,
yes.
You know, and still getting paid with a pension,
yeah.
You know, and if they work, stay and get focused on something that they too can be taken care of for the rest of your life on a pension. So. Anyway, but I'm so glad to have you here.
Yeah.
I see the life in you. And yes, you are a union organizer. I can feel your energy.
It's missing. It's missing in a lot of the social justice discourse, right, where people who really do sincerely want to transform society, mm-hmm. and they want to have a just world. So we'll think a lot about oppression and how it functions at that axis of race and gender, mm-hmm. and many other aspects of difference, mm-hmm. but class is usually pretty low on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And when people think about sometimes working with unions, sometimes there'll be some conflict there, and people don't see that as a vehicle for advancing justice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, in my opinion, so much of the work is being led by nonprofit organizations and NGOs, non-governmental organizations. And frankly, this is you know, a cynical read, but I think we should be honest. Many people who run the foundations that the nonprofit organizations and NGOs get their funding from have some fairly meek,
mm-hmm.
maybe even leaning toward conservative mm-hmm. views about mm-hmm. how movements for justice should be reached, right? So many organizations will stop their members from civil disobedience, from going so far as to have an occupation, to do an action, to
yes.
do an interruption or something like that, because they may not be able to get funded in the next grant
yes.
writing, and
back to their money. Yes.
So mm-hmm. It's real,
mm-hmm.
And I when I read history, I'm able to learn about how pivotal unions have been to
yes.
driving social change on a large scale,
yes. Yes.
And that if social movements, people who advocate for social justice, are more effectively able to cohere a strategy with labor, I think mm-hmm. all sides will mm-hmm. be stronger for it. And there's just not enough people who are effectively advocating for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that anyone that's listening sees that as something that's important and wants to help me. Because
you're a prime example, because as I remember everyone around this table, during the civil rights movement, it was the youth that was out there. And then, okay, they didn't have the jobs, the union jobs. But that is what unions do. We're for social justice, fighting for the rights of people, people of color,
mm-hmm.
seniors,
mm-hmm.
decent pay, you know. But it was the youth. Remember sitting at those tables, you know, and boycotted? A lot of the things that occurred then were by youth,
mm-hmm.
the social justice movement. And I'm just so proud of the fact how unionism is tied all into that,
yeah.
the focus. And so,
when it's done right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Done right. I'm going back to the unionism
mm-hmm.
and our leadership.
Yeah.
Because I come from the staff of UAW and gosh, and was tied into every labor organization, Coalition of Labor Union Women, Coalition of Black
yes,
Trade Unions,
yes.
National Council of Negro Women, anything
yes.
to do with just the rights of people.
Yes.
So, so being a youth, it's good to see you all, especially as we get older and we, you know, we sleep longer. But it's just good to know that there are people like you still fighting for social justice.
Yeah.
The importance of unionism involved in that.
So, Alyssa, what are your goals?
For today?
No, just, well, for today, but I'm just saying
yeah.
6 months from now.
Okay, 6 months, that'll be June or May. Okay, I want to have a plan for the summer, because I don't right now. I ideally will be booked for more trainings, which I've been trying to develop and get out there, so that when people have events where they need someone to come in and speak, or have a campaign that they want people to get trained for, hopefully my name will be thrown more and more into the mix, and I'll be able to come out and help people to build more fighting movements.
So tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Oh yeah, I'm Alyssa Pariah on all social media, AlyssaPariah, and that's my email too, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand when you leave Oregon, you're going to go set Florida on fire.
Yeah, well, my mom lives in Orlando. She's a drug counselor. She's also in recovery herself, and she is 14 years clean. I'm very, very proud of her. And I will get into some trouble with some Puerto Rican organizations that are down there in the Orlando area. There have been about 200,000 Puerto Ricans that have left the island to go to Florida, and many of them to the Orlando area.
Sure.
Not just because of the hurricane that left the island physically devastated, but even before then, because of the financial crisis and the fiscal control board that they're living under, that's imposing more and more austerity onto the poorest people in the U.S. Puerto Rico is a part of the United States. No, it's not a state. It's a colony. Well, someone might argue about Commonwealth versus colony. I say it's still a colony.
But they're American citizens.
And they are American citizens. American passports and birth certificates and social security numbers. They do not have any representation in terms of how they govern, particularly economically right now, because of PROMESA, which is the name of the bill that sort of puts new strangleholds over what they can do economically, so they don't have self-determination, right? So like Puerto Rico is the only part of Latin America that doesn't have its independence yet. And that's, that for some people, you know, that's a mark of shame, and like you know, something that we wish we would have done a long time ago. And now the question is being raised again, especially since Oscar Lopez Rivera got out of prison earlier this year. So I hope that the movement for justice and dignity for Puerto Ricans is not just one that's seen outside of the bounds of a fair and just transition to other cities like Orlando, where hopefully I'll be able to help establish that, but also what about right of return to the island? What about being able to set up a more just system on the island? What about even independence? And it seems like we're so far away from that right now. Not just because of the imposition of hedge funds like the Paulson Group and the people in Congress that are doing their bidding, but also what about the leadership that has sold out the people of Puerto Rico while preaching this this strong Puerto Rican identity and rhetoric and iconography, but yet when everyone's signing the papers and passing them over to their lawyers, the people that get put on the chopping block more and more are the poor people and the working people of the island that are being underserviced and have no sort of strategy to be able to take control of their own lives. I hope that we can build a movement to be able to push back against that.
Well, that makes me tired.
Okay, sorry about that.
But you always have that effect on me, so that's nothing new.
But Madam President, she's young, she's vivacious, she's got energy, and we as union organizers are since the 50s. So it's just good.
The 50s.
Just,
whoa.
As well, the 50s and 60s. Though. Woo! So, but it's good to see that you're here and what you're doing and can be used. You have a voice for it. You have the heart for it, you know, all of that's important. But and to relay that to other youth now, you know what I mean? Now, when they 16, 17, 18, the importance of that social justice, fighting for your rights, not only now but later, and it's been in history. It says that we all know that we've been fighting around a long time, and how far have we gotten? Yeah, but we still got to continue to fight. And proud of that. Unionism.
So tell me, what drives you?
The barbarism of our society. people not having their basic needs met, and there being so much ample abundance around us, and us being fooled left and right that there is actually scarcity, and that we can't all live a decent life somehow because of the market. We can throw your market in the trash, and we can reform this world based on people's basic needs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. All right.
We need to do that.
So you reach your goal. How do you know when you've gotten there?
I'm not choking on bitterness.
Okay.
Then maybe that'll be a sign.
I'm hoping that when you see lives change, when people start changing, you know, young folks' lives start changing. They get what you're saying. You know, that's what I hope, because you got the look. Young, and you've got the energy and willing to fight and help them to understand the importance of what's going on now. And that's what we need.
Thank you.
That's what we need. And I just want to relate to labor unions. There, you know, there's a need for women in leadership and who have your kind of energy and insight. So, and I'm encouraged by that. I'm really encouraged by that. I'm impressed by that. Because that's what we need, you know. We've gone through it already, and then we're still fighting. But to know, hey, she's over there. She's in the wing. She's going to pick up the slack. So hang in there, my sister.
Thank
I'm
you.
Very proud of you already. I don't know what you plan to do. I don't know what the future holds. But stay the course.
Okay.
Be right. encouraged. And those of us standing around, we'll hold you up on one side and the other side. But I'm encouraged by you.
Thank you.
So tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you again.
Yeah, Alyssa Pariah, AlyssaPariah on all social media, and that's my email, AlyssaPariah@gmail.com.
Wow. You know, you haven't, I think you arrived, what, about 2 weeks ago here in Oregon?
November 15th.
November
15th. Yeah,
yeah. And like I said, you've been tearing up the streets since you got here. What are some of the things you've been involved in?
Okay, so there was a sit-in outside of Columbia Sportswear where their CEO had made a request to the mayor with other people in the business alliance to make it so that anyone who is sitting on the sidewalk in commercial zones can be swept up and taken away. And yeah, so that, you know, people who are holiday shopping don't have to be confronted with the reality of homelessness, right?
Gotcha.
So the mayor happily obliged, and the community recoiled and resisted. So we did a sit-in outside where the store was closed down. They did not do business that day. And I hope that everyone who was there and everyone that knew about it and now knows about it pays attention. It was, I thought, a beautiful example of direct action, getting the goods, and having a feet on the streets, like you say, orientation to social change. So we did not wait until the next city council meeting to get on the agenda to voice our opposition and then sort of wait for them to hopefully pass a resolution and draft the da-da-da to make it, no.
Sure.
We went to the store and sat in front of the store, violating the ordinance or whatever, you know, the order would be, right?
Challenging the ordinance.
Yeah, so boom, right? We're all going to sit here. Thank you very much. And the store won't do business. Thank you very much. So hopefully people are inspired and encouraged by that. More recently, I went with a delegation, the Portland Immigrants Rights Coalition, PERC. I went with them to a prison in the Dalles.
NORCOR,
N-O-R-C-O-R, where they have active contracts with ICE. Where they're detaining people in really disgusting conditions and not giving them warm clothes, warm food, and putting them through any number of degrading situations that they don't deserve. And there are people who are out there every single day since May from noon to one, talking to anyone who will come by and trying to get them into the movement to de-ice NorCorps and more broadly to raise the banner of immigrants' rights and justice in the U.S. and resisting ICE and more broadly resisting the Trump agenda that is trying to villainize an entire group of people based on their economic need to just live and take care of themselves and their families.
Well, like I said, you tire me.
You know what? I can really understand you coming back to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Oregon is the place. Mm. I lived in four major cities in my years of living. Mm-hmm. But if you want to protest and if you stand on, this is the place.
Okay.
Oregon is very, very supportive of that. Mm. You're going to find somebody that you can support, like these groups. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how well you like the Pacific Northwest, but your caliber, this is the right place.
Okay. Yeah, I'm open to it. I just need the conditions to be right. And hopefully I won't have too much more drama with my family, but we'll see. The holidays are here.
Okay. You're right about that. So again, tell our listeners, if they want you to be at their rallies, at their conferences, at their weekend workshops, how can they get in touch with you?
Yes, thank you, Miss Tina. My name is Alyssa Pariah, A-L-Y-S-S-A. P-A-R-I-A-H, that's on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of it. And my email is alyssapariah@gmail.com.
You know, when I envision you as going to the hot spots. But after talking to you today, I know that's all wrong, because wherever you go, it is a hot spot.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I'm very proud of the fact that you are so dogged in your passion in order to right this world, to cure the injustices that you see out there. And so I'm very proud that you're on our show today.
You're the best.
I'm very proud of the fact that you have an abundance of energy in order to get out there and slay some of those windmills.
Okay.
So, again, thank you very much. Holla.
Holla. Okay.
Just want to close with the Oregon chapter of the Coalition of Black Trade Unions meets the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employee William Lucy Building, located at 6025 East Burnside, Portland, Oregon. Join us on January the 9th, 2018. And you can check with us. You can contact us on Facebook. We would love to hear from you. Join us in our evolving adventure of representing black union workers.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO hosts Beloved Community in Action movie nights every third Thursday at 7 p.m. here at the radio station. In January, we'll show the movie The Mask You Live In, a documentary that follows boys and young men as they struggle to stay true to themselves while negotiating America's narrow definition of masculinity. Again, that's a screening of The Mask You Live In for the KBOO Beloved Community in Action movie night on Thursday, January 18th at 7 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell, and I would like to invite you to check out my program, Jazz in the New Millennium, at kboo.fm. Each one-hour program focuses on a living jazz artist, putting their work in historical perspective, from their earliest recordings to their most recent. The current season features such primetime players as Jason Moran, Diane Reeves, Christian McBride, Terrence Blanchard, and John Scofield. The weekly program is syndicated nationally by the African American Public Radio Consortium. It can be heard anytime on KBOO's website by going to the drop-down menu at kboo.fm, clicking on audio, then podcasts, and scrolling down to the Jazz in the New Millennium page. New shows are posted weekly. That's Jazz in the New Millennium with Rick Mitchell at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the second annual David Bowie Memorial Bike Ride on his birthday, Monday, January 8th. Come ride your bike around Portland with Diablo as we celebrate the life and music of David Bowie with a mobile dance party and sing-along. Again, that's the second annual David Bowie Memorial Bike Ride at 7 p.m. at the Bowie Bike Lane at the corner of Southwest Broadway and Main on January 8th in downtown Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage on the community events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can all